Welcome to His Church, Owensboro Podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in your life, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at hischurch.cc and let us know about all of the things that God is doing in your life. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would consider supporting us financially, please visit hischurch.cc and click on Give to see the many options available. Thank you for joining us. We hope this message blesses you.
Go ahead and turn to your neighbor, tell them this, say you're lucky you got to sit by me tonight on a Wednesday night. We're out in a rainstorm, and we're here anyway. You look around, you see the real people that'll come out in a flood, even without Noah's Ark. So I'm glad to be here. I think we're going to have a good time for the next few minutes. Johnny broke out the shorts tonight. Bold move, Johnny. You look good, brother. Y'all give Johnny a hand clap on the front row, picking on him just a little bit. My father called those short britches, is what you're wearing right now, huh? I'm bringing britches back. Jesse hates that term. Hey, if you have your Bible on you tonight, I want you to go ahead and open it up. Let's open it up to the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to read one verse in a moment, verse 52, and just kind of talk to the church body that's out on a Wednesday night. We got the home team here, the people that make stuff happen, the people that give, that pray, that serve, that work. Come on, let's give everybody that makes His church happen a big hand clap tonight. I want to thank y'all. Wednesday night crew, you're like family. And because you come out on Wednesday night, you learn things first here. Somebody say amen to that, right? But I want to talk a little bit about who we are as a church and where we're going. I did this last night in Henderson, talking to the group of people that are excited about planning a campus there. I think Jesse just mentioned it, 90 people strong before we ever started. I believe we can launch that thing with who knows how many people. How many of y'all will pray and believe God for a big launch whenever the time comes in Henderson, Kentucky? We're believing God for that. And here's what happens with church bodies in America. I'll give you a little bit of the stats and what people that study church growth teach. That an average-sized church in America is 70 to 80 people. All right, the average church you see in America is about 70 to 80 people. 100 people is considered a large church. 200 is a very large church. You get to 1,000, and there are fewer and further between. But the biggest barrier for any church in America to effectively reach its community, to begin to have a voice and just not be a small group of people in the corner of their culture. I don't believe that God ever designed us to be just a small group of people in the corner of the culture of our city. I believe the church ought to be in the midst of the gates, that we ought to be in charge of the city. It's God's design is that the church is the leadership of the city. And I believe as the people in this room go, so does the welfare of our city go. I really believe that. We set the pace. But here's what you got to do to get a church to a certain size. A lot of times they'll lag and they'll never get over 200 people. And when they stay in that size, people get a mindset that's really, this has been said a million times, so I hate to even use the analogy, but us four and no more. How many of y'all have ever heard anybody say that, right? It's about me. It's about my mama. It's about us seeing our cousin, our uncle, and our best friend every Sunday when we go to church. And it's just about me connecting with the 10 or 20 people that I love. And I really don't care that much about a world that needs Jesus. I really don't care that much about outreach or reaching out or bringing the gospel, the word of the Lord to the world. I really care about me getting my spiritual needs scratched and seeing my people. How many know Jesus didn't design His church just to make us comfortable or to give us a community that we feel good about being in? Jesus designed His church to take over the world, to bring the righteous reign and rule of Jesus Christ of Nazareth into every person's world. Come on, it's not a cruise ship, it's a battleship. Let's give God one more hand clap. His church is that kind of entity, that kind of thing. So if you can launch a church over 200 people, if you can launch it over 200, the stats show that it has that much faster of being able to take a real seat of authority in the city it's in and get a voice. And we want to give the scriptures, the word of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Come on, He has a voice, but we want it to be heard through us in Henderson, Kentucky. So we're praying about that. And I was talking last night. I want y'all to pray for that. I was talking last night of kind of some of the DNA of River City. We're not even River City anymore. His church. Come on, help me. Preacher doesn't even know the name of the church. Where do we go to church? I don't know. His church, Matthew 13, 52. This is something we've hung our hat on since day one. And I'll use this to jump into some places we're going. Here's what it says. This is Jesus. Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Everybody say these words. Say things new and old. Let's say it again. Things new and old. So he's talking about a scribe. Jesus says every scribe. And whenever he says a scribe, he's talking about a teacher of the word of God, one who broke the bread of life. And the scribes went a step further. Some of them were just scribes. Some of them were also copyists in their days. It was their job for them to literally copy the word of God. We have presses and we have printers and we have machines to do our copying. But back in the day, a scribe under Jewish law would come and they copied the scriptures. Every jot, every tittle, every mark in the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament, they had to make sure it matched. And these guys would spend all day copying the word of God with their hand. Can anybody think of a harder type of labor than copying? Sounds like sweatshop stuff, doesn't it? All day long. And thank God they got to copy the word of God. But if they made one mess up, do you know what happened to the entire copy they've been working on? It's in the trash, right? These are precise people. They know how to handle the word. They know what to do. How many know the word of God matters? And you know, these guys did such a good job copying and reproducing the word of God that we have the word of God, the Bible. There are very, very small differences in manuscripts out there. The word of God is powerful. It's been watched over by heaven. Come on, God brought us his word and made sure a reliable copy came to us. Somebody give God a hand clap for his word. The Bible is the word of God. It's what a scribe is. And so he goes on and he said, every scribe that's well instructed in the kingdom of God. He's like a householder or somebody that's, we could say it like this, they're over the inventory of a house. They manage the systems of a house and they understand the inventory. If you don't have a good inventory, you don't know what you have, stuff can walk off very easily, right? How many of y'all have ever worked with inventory or maybe kept up with inventory at a workplace? It's tedious work, isn't it? And some of you, I see some of you, the kind of business you had a lot of money in inventory, and you got to keep up with that. Well, this householder, it says that he's a sharp guy, manager of inventory, that he could go back into his warehouse, go into his storehouse, and he knew exactly where the stuff was. He's organized. It's one of these kind of people that knows what's up, knows where they put everything. How many organizational junkies do I have out in the house tonight? We need you. Amen. Thank God for organizational people. How many of you people don't know where, you know, your keys are to get you home tonight? Let me see you. There's my people right there. I love you guys. Understand you. I know that right now there's some organizational thing that's hit Netflix where these ladies show you how to organize your house. Does anybody watch that or know what I'm talking about? I just learned about it. Jesse told me about it on the way here, that there's apparently an Asian lady that'll teach you how to organize everything in your world to a T. And this guy's organized like that. And here's the thing. He could come out. The Bible says he knew what he had, and he brought out two different kinds of things. All right? I like new stuff. I like shiny stuff. But I also like old stuff. I like new music. I even like pop radio sometimes, right? I hate to admit that. It kind of hurts your tough guy image. But sometimes I like it. But I also like Waylon Jennings. I got any Waylon fans out there? I mean, when I'm feeling at home, I turn on Luckenbach, Texas, and I'm hanging out, right? I like to howl and stuff with Waylon, you know? I like old stuff. And I think, here's what it says the scribes do, is that a wise scribe knew when it was time to bring out something new, and he knew when it was time to bring out something old. And if that isn't a perfect picture of how the kingdom of God operates, I don't know what is. How many of y'all believe that we ought to hold on to the old things, the ancient truths, the tried and true practices of the body of Christ? How many of y'all believe we ought to hold on to the old thing, the ancient thing, the word of God that never passes away? We're thankful this ministry is going to be built once and for all on the word of God. We're keeping our life right there. That's our measure. That's our canon. Come on, let's really give God a hand clap for the word of God. It's faithful and true. And that's the cord that runs through who we are. Amen? It's the cord that binds us together. It's the word of the living God. And we're building a church and been building a church for 15 years. We're going to build it on the word of God. Now, I proclaim whenever they put us together as his church,
just a few weeks ago, just like Billy Graham did over Oral Roberts University. As long as this organization is built on the Word of God, I pronounce a blessing on it. He said that about the university I graduated from, and he said, if it ever departs from the Word of God, I pronounce a curse on it, and I say the same about this church. As long as it's built on the Word of God, I pronounce a blessing on it, and if another leader ever comes after me after I kick the bucket and he takes it away from the Word of God, I pronounce a curse on it. May it go somewhere else and the fruit be scattered to fruitful ground. Somebody say amen to that. See, we're committed to old things, and just like every night when we come together, I'll tell you what we're committed to, the preaching of the gospel. How many are thankful that the gospel message is always going out from this house? And I was telling the people last night, whenever we come together, I promise you this, in a public assembly message, there's going to be a clear-cut presentation of the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus will be preached in every service. And I believe this, if we're faithful, and I believe the Spirit of God showed us this, if we're faithful to preach the gospel every time we get together, that God will be faithful to bring people here who have not received the gospel to get born again. And every year over 1,000 people pray to receive Christ. In this room, adults, every year, and some years a lot closer to 1,500. And people like wonder, how do you do that? There's a lot of churches that don't see anybody get saved all year. They're like, how does that happen? And they'll ask us that from time to time. I have other ministers ask us that. How does that happen? And I think they're looking for some real spiritual answer from me. Like, well, you know, one time an angel showed up and said that this would be a pool where the lost would come. They get in the pool and they get saved. And God gave me a word that there'd be perpetual salvation here. And it's like, I'll tell you how people get saved every week here. It's because we preach the gospel every week here. And the gospel's simple, but it works. Come on. It's foolishness to man, but it's the power of God to salvation. And if you want to see people saved, talk about the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. God will save people in your midst. We're committed to the old things of preaching the gospel. I like some of the old things. I like some old music from time to time, some old church music. Last night we sang How Great Thou Art. I think How Great Thou Art's a great song. I think Nothing But the Blood's a great song. Come on, somebody. Amazing Grace, it's a great song. They're really relatively new songs. People think they're the oldies, but if you look at the calendar of church history, we're 2,000 years in. They were written within the last couple hundred years, right? Look at your neighbor and just say, those are new tunes. Just tell them that, huh? Those are brand new tunes. Those are like new releases, right? People are like, you don't do the old music anymore. I'm like, what? You mean like the Gregorian chants of the first century? You didn't even know about those, did you? You hadn't done your church history. I have a minor in church history. So I just say all that to say I like what we consider old. And I think the best DJs, if you ever go to a wedding, they know how to do this. And I know you guys like to rock it at the weddings. I've seen you in action, all of you out there. And the best DJs do this. They'll play an old song that everybody knows, right? And everybody is moved by that song. And they know how to weave in the old and the new to get a whole crowd involved in the dance. So we're going to bring out the old, and we're going to bring out the new. See, the church has to have the old, but the new, the methodology, the packaging, the who we are and how we do things, it has to change quickly. How many of y'all recognize that culture is changing so fast? The pace is getting faster every minute. The culture keeps changing. Right now, they say I'm as far away culturally from an 18-year-old as I am from my grandfather. My grandfather turned 91 yesterday. And so I'm culturally, he and I are the same difference as me at 41 to an 18-year-old. And I would suspect it's getting faster every minute right now. Social media, internet, the way we connect, the way we do business, the way we talk, it's changing so fast. So the church is going to have to become masters of bringing out things that are new. If we don't bring out the things that are new, number one, if we don't hold on to the old truth that we have, come on, we don't have anything. We don't have a message if we don't have the Bible, right? That message doesn't change. Supreme Court can't change that message. I'm telling you, the government of New York can't change that message. Some idiot in Virginia can't change that message. They can't change the truth of the Word of God. The truth is the truth is the truth. Sorry about that idiot statement. Not really, all right? That's all I got to say. I'm not sorry at all. But I'm just saying, that's what we have. So we have the old, but we got to present it in new ways and fresh ways. And if we don't do that, we're dead in the water as a people. It's like this. I've told this story a lot of times, and if you've been around a while, you've probably heard me tell this. The only type of jobs I've ever done is I worked in the cattle industry. Grew up, since I was big enough not to get killed by cattle, I worked with cattle. And also worked in the golf industry and would help run a cart barn, and I trained caddies. So, like, I trained guys to do customer service on a golf course, carrying golf bags for guys, and really, really like an elite-type country club situation. I love golf. It was a lot of fun. I got to play golf for free, and those guys tipped a lot of money. Sometimes I could make $400 a day carrying golf bags in college. I made more money caddying than I did when I started pastoring, right? And the more they drank, the bigger they tipped. And I always had this ethical dilemma on the inside where the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but tips are big. I'm like, I don't know what to say to you right now, you know? But we would caddy and do those things. And so I trained a bunch of like frat boys. And I was the old wise guy then, right? I was like 23, 24 and married. And they're like 21 and killing themselves. And I was there witnessing to these guys. And they always wanted to gamble and play golf. And to play in their match, you had to gamble. That's the way it goes. And so I would say this. I'll put my money up against your money. If you beat me, I'll pay out bucks. If I beat you, you come to church with me. And now, is that right or wrong? I don't know, but it was effective. That's all I got to say. You can work off the ethics on that yourself. But it was effective, and these guys would come to church with me, and the gospel would be preached, and the gospel works. Come on, somebody. Even if the atmosphere isn't perfect, right? The gospel works. And these guys, the conviction of God would come on their life, and you'd watch them. You know, they have their head hanging, and people call them to repentance, and I'd see these guys get born again. And man, it's like, I don't know if you've had the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, to see them get born again. It's like getting born again, right? It's the greatest thing you'll ever be a part of as a Christian. It's winning someone else to Jesus. And the people that get saved in here on Sunday morning, they're not won by me. They're won by the people that got them in the room. Somebody say amen to that. Don't ever think the preacher is the guy that got that person. In the crusade, tell you what, Dr. Graham was the guy that was used in America to pull in the nets. But the people that brought all the people to the Graham crusades are the people that won those people to the Lord. And it's people like the one sitting by you right now that makes all the difference in somebody else's life. Just look at your neighbor and tell them you're a difference maker. Just tell them that, huh? You're a difference maker. I kind of miss doing what you get to do. Because in these communities, everybody knows who I am now, right? I don't get to talk without them thinking I have an agenda already. Most people know who I am in Owensboro. So some of you are so undercover, they don't even know you're Christian yet. You're so undercover, you concern your pastor. So that's all I got to say. But I get those guys there, they would get born again. And then they would come to church for a little while. And one after the other, these guys would come and say, they'd say, Brian, we love you. We love the church, or we, not the church, we love Jesus. We believe the Bible's the word of God. We've given our life to Jesus, but we can't come to your church because your church is weird. It feels like somebody's grandma styled it. We just don't fit here. And I'd start taking them. I was living in Tulsa back then. I would take them to Pastor Bill Shear's church, to Guts Church back then. And it had already started to make cultural changes. A lot of America hadn't. As a matter of fact, he led the charge in America. On church that wasn't as, I hate to use this term because I don't believe churchy really says what Jesus intended the church to be, but you get what I'm saying, right? It was, he was one of the first guys in the nation, not that it matters, but that preaches in jeans. And I don't care what you preach in, but it was a more comfortable atmosphere back then. People could come in that weren't used to the drill and they could stay there. And I watched and the light bulb went off when I saw that they could stay at that church and not at the one I went to, is that everything in America has to change, or we're not going to reach the next generation. Come on, we have to reach. We're called by God to reach the next, come on somebody, the next generation, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren. We have a mandate and a responsibility to set up church that communicates to the next generation. So we got to find ways to bring out things that are new all the time, whatever it is, new songs, new media, new technology. The early adopter of the new technology always wins in the business realm. Almost always wins. If you don't think it matters, just ask Walmart about Amazon right now. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them it matters. You don't want to be the guy riding the mule to town when everybody else has the Model T, right? I want the new technology. I want the new stuff. Like, my kids were asking me just yesterday. They're like, we're coming into town, and they said, when you were a little boy, did you not have phones in your car? And I said, no, we didn't have phones in our car. I said, he's like, you didn't have phones in your car? Not even the kind that are plugged in and stable? Y'all had those back then. I'm like, no. They're like, what did you do if you had trouble? If your car broke down or you had a wreck? I said, well, you crawled to the nearest house if you lived through the wreck. You knocked on the door, and once they decided you weren't a serial killer and we're going to help you or not, right? They made a call, and they called for help. And how many are thankful we don't have to do that anymore? We can just pick up the phone. How many are thankful for that new technology? You don't have to call. You can probably text 911 if you want to now. I don't know, right? The new technology makes things easier. Right now, I'm telling you, the gospel can go around the world. The church can do things we've never done for 2,000 years. Because of the technology, because of internet, because of capabilities of travel, we can sync the world together. The possibilities are endless. Why should the church be the last people in the food chain understanding what technology is changing the world? We ought to be inventing the technologies that change the world. The children of God, come on. We're the people with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of wisdom on the inside of us. I think we go into the storehouse. And we continue to bring out things old and bring out things new. And it's amazing how fast the new gets old. Right? I mean, I started this church at the wise age of 26. I was 26. Jesse was 23. How many of y'all were around for that nightmare back then whenever I was pastoring at 26? Y'all were around back then, right? Now it was exciting. But I'll tell you what, it's yesterday. Today I'm 41. Stuff's changed. Next year, stuff's going to change. Spirit of God's the agent of change. And if we're going to change and we're going to be effective, man, we need a buy-in from people that say, here I am, God, use me, no matter what it does in our midst. How many of y'all want to be that kind of people? Just lift a hand to heaven, just before the Lord. If you want to say this out loud, say, here I am, Lord. Use me in Jesus' name. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit and just tell you kind of here's the way we're looking at setting up and are setting up the entire ministry. We're not just one church now. We're one church, multiple locations. So how does that work? We're all one church together. Everybody, let's say that out loud. Say one church, multiple locations. Say it again. One church, multiple locations. It's not two different churches. You might say it like this. It's one house, multiple rooms, right? It's one body. So we're the same church body as the church in Amarillo. We'll be the same church body as the church in Henderson, Kentucky. And we're gonna help one another. We're gonna move forward. And here's kind of the way we're laying out the big ideas of ministry, how we do ministry. There's three categories, and this isn't a theology, it's just a teaching device, okay? There were three anointed offices in the Old Testament. There was the prophet, the priest, and the king. And those are the lanes I see the church flowing through, okay? And it's just a way I can keep it straight in my mind. It's for organization purpose. Preachers have to have a theological term for everything, right? So I've created these. And here's the way I see the church. Number one is the prophet. Everybody say prophets. All right, I'm not saying that I'm a prophet or anything. I'm a church leader. But what did a prophet do in the Old Testament? A prophet brought the word of the Lord to the people of God. It's the mouthpiece for the word of God, right? The preacher, if you will. And the prophet also saw vision, where we're going. What's Israel to do? And so I think the first and the one of the primary roles of the house of God is to bring the word of God to the people of God. Somebody say amen to that. Without the word of God, we have nothing. And that's my job, that's my role, that's my lane. So me and Jesse are the primary teaching team, and we have other people that help teach as well, but we're going to see to it that the Word of God is always ministered in a strong way, empowered by the Spirit of God, that we're going to be a Word teaching, Word preaching, Word living organization that brings the Bible to life every Sunday, where the Word of God will be served here. Come on, we'll be full of the Word of God. Somebody say, I'm getting full, huh? You're going to be full of the Word of God. So that's the vision part. How are we going to do that at multiple locations? Well, we'll do it through travels. One way we'll do it. Jess and I will teach live. We're also going to use some video in the midst of it. Going to get better at video. How many know video? Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all watched a video on your phone today. Let me see your hands. How many of y'all watch one in the last 2 hours, even if it's a short clip? How many of y'all are watching one while I'm preaching right now? Yeah. Bouncers, ushers, y'all get a hold of those people, all right? So it's video is just a part of our culture now, right? You pull up at the stoplight. You ever drive down the road by somebody that's like watching TV right beside you driving? That's me. That was me doing that. No, I'm playing. I don't do that. But video is such a part of our culture now. It's wired in. And I just want you to know to say, hey, a church isn't going to use video is insanity. It makes no sense whatsoever. Everybody uses it to grab the attention of the world, and it works. The stats show this, that you know, I'm an extremely attractive man, and I'm thankful. I believe that's the favor of God on my life. But the stats show that if you're looking at me naturally standing here, that I'm less attractive to you than if you look at me on a screen. Because there's something about the way our brains interact with the technology. Why do people get enamored with TV personalities? They've known something for years, and they steered culture with this. Hollywood has steered culture with this. That if they could put them up on that screen, on that image, they're more attractive to the human mind than anyone else. That's why people think movie stars have valid political opinions. Look at your neighbor and say, are you kidding me, right? There's a science behind it. The media works. I do say this, we won't be a straight only. We're going to use a ton of video, but we also feel obligated for this. We feel obligated long term that we're also to raise up the next generation of preachers and teachers in our midst. So we're going to have strong developing leaders. We're going to double down on that, by the way. We're doubling down on raising up communicators and raising up. It's going to take, I picked a number like that we're going to have 100 church campuses. People are like, did God say that to you? I'm like, no, I like the number. So I went with 100, right? And I'm believing God. If you're going to get a goal, you might as well get a big one. Come on. God said, plant a lot of churches. I said, let's try 100. If we get 100, we'll go to 200. But if we're going to get 100 churches, we're going to have a lot of leaders, a lot of worship leaders. Come on, a lot of kids ministers, a lot of youth ministers. It's going to take a lot of people. We need workhorses more than we need show horses right now. There's a difference. And so we're going to double down on that, but we're going to do all that to keep the lane of the prophet, the word of the Lord, strong in his church. All right, the second lane in the Old Testament is the priestly lane. Everybody say the priest. All right, what did the priest do? Well, the priest connected God to man. All right? The priest was that anointed called man that connected God, oversaw the sacrificial temple system in the midst of Israel. And he connected the God of Israel to the people of Israel. He was the representative or the go-between, right? It's really like a pastoral role at a local level. I think about it like that. And so we'll say our priestly ministry will be overseen by our campus pastors. And the campus pastor is the guy overseeing temple ministry at the local level. So there'll be a campus pastor here. Pastor Patrick and Pastor Tiffany Donahue will be the campus pastors at Owensboro here at River City Church. Come on, somebody give them a hand clap. Been with us years. I don't know where they are. They're somewhere. He's working in the back. She's back there. So what does that mean? Well, he's going to oversee the house. He's going to help, and Tiffany will help take care of the church business, minister, help function and pray for people, and be here to oversee that day-to-day. In Henderson, John Tatum is stepping into that role. He's in the back ministering the youth. Come on, let's give John a hand clap for doing that, taking care of that role. Somebody on the ground all the time taking care of the house is what it's got to be. My job's vision and my job is preaching. And I can't take care of all the details anymore. Lord, I can't hardly take care of any details. I'm not a detail guy. So I'm the wrong man for any job like that. But we're going to have strong people. And then we're going to have somebody out in Amarillo that'll be over that as campus pastor as well. And every church going forward, that's the way we'll set it up. All right, the third role you have prophet, you have priest. Third role you have is you have the king in the Old Testament. And what did the king do? And people are like, king, I want that role. That means I'm in charge of everybody, right? I'll be the king. What I think about when I'm saying king is the king is the person overseeing the business side of the ministry at a higher level. And so, you know, it's a church, but how many know this is called the Father's business, right? Jesus said, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? And so there are things to take care of in the business realm. We have properties to manage, right? We have a budget to manage. We have money that comes in. You have receivables from the offering. You have payables. And what we've done now is we've hired an accounting firm that was one of the top five church accounting firms out of Texas. We found it several years ago, and they handle all of our payables now for all his church locations and manage and balance and take care of all of our books. So to get that over in one of the strongest firms where CPAs are watching it, and it's taken care of as we get larger. You know, you have to have better systems when things get larger. Does that make sense? And I'm trying to get the best systems we could possibly have to take care of the kingly roles. So that thing is I'm strengthening that department right now to take care of all business, all your assets, all of church properties, your employees, and everything like that. I just want you to see and know. So a lot of people have heard of multi-site church, but they've never seen it done. But I'm telling you, it's done all over the earth now. All right? It just hadn't been heard of as much right in our region. And the most effective churches right now in America, they're adopting this model. And I think it's kind of like this. Why is it working so fast, and why are they growing so much faster than other churches? I think it's kind of like franchising. That I know that's just a term from the business world. But I fell asleep the other night watching The Founder. Has anybody seen The Founder out there? I think it's going to be good. I fall asleep. I can fall asleep in any movie, right? Give me like 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm done. It's bedtime. But I fell asleep, and The Founder is about Ray Kroc, who bought out McDonald's and took it and franchised it around the nation. And what it was is Ray Kroc was a guy that sold milkshake machines. And almost nobody wanted one whenever Ray was selling them. And if he could get somebody to buy one milkshake machine that did multiple shakes at a time, it was like a gold mine. Somebody bought one. We got an order for like 8 of them or something like that at one time out of San Bernardino, California. And he went out, and what he saw the McDonald's brothers had put together was a fast food place that worked at such a better level than any other drive-in car hop place in America. Most of the car hop places back then were dirty. They were ill-managed. It took forever for your food to come out. Stuff didn't work right like that. And he pulls up there, and it's a machine. He had a workflow in his kitchen where one guy's doing burgers, one guy's doing buns. There's an assembly line. It was revolutionary that many years ago. Now it's every fast food joint in America. But this guy figured it out. And Kroc saw it and saw it as magic, that if we can replicate that, we can put them all over the world. And how many of you know 50 pounds heavier on every American and a McDonald's on every corner? Ray Kroc was right, right? If you get something that works, you can replicate it. Why do multi-site churches work so well? Well, somebody figured out how to do it in one location. Then they can take it and replicate it. Who are we in the multi-site deal out there in America? Tell you what, I believe a lot of them that you see out there, they're evangelical churches. Good people, the Word of God, people we love, brothers and sisters. Come on, let's give all of our brothers and sisters in Christ a hand clap. I love them all. I love the Baptists. I love the Methodists. I love the Catholics. Come on, I love, let's give them one more hand clap. I love them all. I'm for them all. I really am. Anybody that's Jesus' Messiah, born again, they're a brother and sister, right? Regardless of our small differences that we have. But here's what I think we are. I believe that we're the charismatic edge of the body of Christ. Amen? We still believe in the power of God. We still believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We still believe that when we lay hands on people, they get whole. Somebody say amen to that. We still believe in the miraculous. We believe in the prophetic. We believe that angels are helping us. We believe that stuff. And I believe our contribution to America is to keep the Spirit-filled movement strong. To be sane, we bring sanity to the Spirit-filled movement. We're not weird, we're not kooky, but come on, we're supernatural. And God moves in our midst. Now I'm telling you, God's going to move in our midst stronger in Owensboro, Kentucky than he ever has before. He's going to move in our midst in Amarillo, Texas stronger than he ever has before. He's going to move in our midst in Henderson, Kentucky stronger than he ever has before. He's going to keep moving in other cities. He's going to move out in Ohio County, move in Bowling Green. Come on, somebody. He's going to keep moving. And he's going to use us as a people. So we need people that are bought in and ready to go. And I can't think of a better place to find them than a Wednesday night on a rainy night at church. And I just want to thank you as a pastor. I want to share with you a little bit of where we're going. You'll hear more about that. Just trying to get people familiar with what we're doing and how we're going to operate and how we're going to flow. And I want you to just go ahead and stand up on your feet. I'm out of time here. But I want us to pray for the church. Come on, let's pray for our church. Let's pray for his church. Amen? Why don't you just lift a hand to heaven and you could begin to pray tonight for this church. If you pray in the Spirit, just begin to pray in the Spirit out there for our church, all of our people. Father, we pray right now for this church. We pray for this movement of God. We pray for your hand in our midst. We pray right now and we bless the house of God. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be strong in our midst in a supernatural way. We ask and we believe the anointing is here and on us. Let the anointing run and pulse through this city, Father. Let it be hard to go to hell from Owensboro, Kentucky. Let the people have to find another port of entry if they want to go to hell. Let the gospel message, let the power of God, let the miracles flow in our midst. I pray right now for wisdom for every campus. Wisdom for every campus pastor. Come on, let's begin to pray for all of our campus pastors, all of our pastors and staff that lead. Lord, we speak the blessing of God over every one of them. We declare they're wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We pray that people would come and help them, build them up, not hurt them and tear them down. I pray the blessing of God, the strength of God. I come against every assignment of the enemy against their life. I break that power. I say that angels hold them up lest they dash their foot against a stone. I declare, Father, that there's a hedge of protection around them and their kids. Lord, bless those leaders and lift them supernaturally in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we pray for the strongest 2019 we've ever had. Lord, I pray that you would crown this year with your favor, crown it with your honor, crown it with your grace, crown it with your blessing, we pray. Now we pray, Father, for finances, for every outreach, every church plant, every new campus. Right now, we declare that the generosity of God flows in our midst, flows and comes. Lord, let miracles come and pay off buildings. Let miracles come and finance new avenues of ministry. Father, we believe you for it. We ask for your hand in our midst. Lord, we're not just looking for six hands, the hand of man. We're looking for the seventh hand. We're looking for your hand in our midst. Father, let your seventh hand move. We declare that his church is growing, it's going, it's prospering, it's pushing ahead. We declare it's doubling. Come on, let's begin to pray for an explosion of church growth. We pray for an explosion of church growth, people getting born again, people added to the church. Lord, people finding their spot in the body of Christ. Lord, bless them, use them, lead them. Usher people into purpose, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we thank you for your help. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your grace. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, I pray, I pray, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's give the Lord one more big hand clap tonight.